This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, we got the engines revved up in hour number one. Now it's time officially to start hour number two right here on the early line. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He's Dubs Anderson, and still got 2 hours to go. The energy is high. The debates will continue. There's never a topic that we won't hit, which includes more NFL stuff. Dubsy, I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm enjoying myself this morning, and I hope you are too.
Prime time in the sports world, baby. We're going to do our best to get you guys up to speed. Donnie, you've ruffled my feathers in hour number one. I hope you're going to take it a little easier coming into hour number two, because we have plenty on deck. Week 10 in the NFL, the college football less than a month out. And hey, basketball's back. Yes, we missed you there on the Tuesday, but happy hump day. Let's get after it.
Yeah, I can't wait to handicap some college basketball today. Dubs is going to be the superstar of that segment, breaking it all down. Winners, losers, players you need to watch. I can't wait to see you play out. Let's have some fun here, because by yourself, Dubsy, some of my favorite segments here on the network are these. Why? Because we can have some fun and extrapolate if things are actually meeting what the public feels and what we feel are happening. But let's first start here and set the tone, because the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to be right in the crosshairs. Let's take a look at this. The record and the point differential of the best teams in the NFL. The Kansas City Chiefs, the only unbeaten team sitting at 8-0, a plus 56 point differential. The Detroit Lions, 7-1. Look at this point differential, plus 110. The Buffalo Bills, 7-2. Their differential, plus 87. And then the Washington Commanders sitting 7-2 at a plus 74 point differential. So the team with the best record has the least on the point differential. So buy or sell, the Chiefs are not one of the best three teams in the NFL.
Come on, what are we doing here? Sell, sell, sell. I get it. They're welcoming in a lot of these teams to the dogfight. The Kansas City Chiefs, if they're not the best team in the National Football League going into Week 10, they're certainly in the top three. They're the reigning champs. They're in search of a third consecutive Lombardi. Every single week we complain that they're not beating the brakes off their opposition. But for the opposition, it's their Super Bowl week in, week out, taking on the likes of Andy Reid, Spags, and Patty Mahomes. They've now got superstar DeAndre Hopkins turning back the clock. What a new-looking offensive weapon and new dynamic this brings to the Kansas City Chiefs offense. So I'm not buying in on that. I don't think they're the best team in the NFL, but they're certainly one of the best teams, with a quarterback who doesn't care about stuffing the old stat sheet or being a box score baddie. They care about getting wins, and so far they've done a pretty good job of that, sitting at 8-0, Donnie.
Yeah, I'm also going to sell this as well because I do believe that the Chiefs are one of the best three teams. Now, this question would have been much different. It's like, do you believe the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL by yourself? Because technically, I don't think that is the case pound for pound if you're going up against the Lions or maybe, let's just say again, the Baltimore Ravens. Now, things are going to play out the rest of the way. And is there a chance that Kansas City can run the table in the regular season and finally say, you know what? Patriots couldn't get it done. We're going to get it done and match the 1972 Miami Dolphins. But I do want to start here with the Kansas City Chiefs because that's the team that we're asking the questions about. Once again, plus 56-point differential. It's kind of astounding through eight games because, obviously, what have we always led to believe since the Patrick Mahomes era started in Kansas City? They have the ability to absolutely blow you out of the water, and that's not what's taking place now. More of a measured attempt at offense. More of a defense now under Steve Spagnuolo that can rise to the occasion and take over the entire game as opposed to just get me a stop with 3 minutes left to go so we can win this football game. You look at the Chiefs 8-0. Are we worried at all? Because, again, you could say, well, if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt or Kelce gets hurt, if they continue to stay as healthy as they are now without any more major injuries, is there a legitimate chance that you believe they can run the table in the regular season, or is it just too much to be able to do that in any given Sunday? There's a legitimate chance that you can lose to anybody here.
Yeah, I think it's way too much to ask, Donnie. I don't think they're going through the regular season undefeated. I thought the Bucs, you know, I believe it was on this show last week where I thought the Bucs were absolutely live with no Chris Godwin and no Mike Evans. You know, the defense is going to be the DNA in the Chiefs in search for a third straight, you know, big dance score for the Lombardi. But you allow the Bucs to put up 24 points without any of their offensive weapons out there in the slop. You allow the Raiders the week prior to put up a 20-piece. So this is what happens when you welcome in a lot of teams into a close, you know, arm wrestle, back and forth affair. Eventually, you're going to get done. You're going to have some bad luck and misfortune go against you. And we saw that. I mean, they needed overtime in trying to take down Baker Mayfield. There was no one else there for the Bucs. I guess, you know, Kate Otten. And Donnie, you know, I cover a lot of horse racing. I cover a lot of golf. And this would be the same as a horse that welcomes in some lesser foes in trying to get to the finish line first and say, no, I'm just going to beat you. I'd be like playing the 18th out there on the golf course saying, Donnie, I'm a far better golfer than you, but we're going to go up to the 18th all square on the final tee box. Eventually, you're going to fluke a couple of good shots and say, you know what? We shouldn't have let them hang around that far into the contest. This is the National Football League. I believe there's a lot of parity this season. The Chiefs are not on some pedestal as the team to beat. I think they've got a very good chance of getting rolled this week by the Denver Broncos.
Oh, at home nonetheless.
Let's here,
because
start
if
this
you are
week.
Looking at There you go. So look at that. The Buccaneers almost got to him. That game actually went to overtime, and you're right about it. This wasn't the Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, we're ready to absolutely rock and roll with our top players out here, and they still could arguably say maybe the Buccaneers were the better team on Monday night but just didn't get the football in overtime. The Broncos will put up a fight here, but there are two spots the rest of the way that you do worry about for Kansas City if you're expecting them to go undefeated. They go at the Buffalo Bills at a 425 game on November 17th. That atmosphere is going to be absolutely insane. But then you see Christmas Day, 1 p.m., at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Two unbelievably tough spots. And I'm with you, Dubsy. If I feel like on a day-to-day basis, you look and say, okay, they're going to be favored in the majority of their games. They should have lost already a couple games and have it, which is a credit to the Kansas City Chiefs, no doubt about it. But sooner than later, if you don't bring your A game every single day and you're on the road, eventually you will lose a game in the NFL. That's why the 1972 Dolphins are the only team that's gone through the regular season and the postseason undefeated, and there was less games back then than there are today. But some of the other teams that we were going up against in this buy or sell segment to say, are they a top three team in the NFL? If not, let's just say the best team, the Detroit Lions, the Buffalo Bills, and the Commanders. I love the Lions. And if you're telling me, and it's a shame last year, Dubs, right? You get to the Super Bowl, it's Chiefs and 49ers. I thought the 49ers were the better team. They didn't win. See, any given Sunday that can happen, as long as you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you watch that play out. But talk to me about the Lions, a plus 110 differential. This team has no problem stepping on the opponent's neck midway through the game and blowing them out, unlike the Chiefs.
And they got that quiet killer in Jared Goff at quarterback. I mean, he has been having a career season. You look at the efficiency that he's playing with the football. I mean, there's no turnovers. He's seen it well. He's got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's standing on his head literally on a Sunday afternoon after making some of these big catches. We saw that piece that they've brought across there yesterday on the defensive side. I think that's the pressure that they absolutely needed to address in losing Aiden Hutchinson. So for the Detroit Lions, I feel like they're actually getting less fanfare and buzz. Not that they're losing any attention from the odds makers here, but I feel like they're putting together a really good run here off the back of Jared Goff, who I think is still right in the conversation for MVP honors at a bit of a price here. So I think the Detroit Lions are absolutely locked and loaded, and they can put up points. They can absolutely step on the throat. And not to go back to the Chiefs, but we saw this last year, Donnie. They really struggled to score in the second half, and I don't care what sport, what game you're playing, it's the team with the most points once it's all said and done. And right now, the Detroit Lions, they are absolutely flying on all cylinders, and nothing's going to stop them, including playing at Houston here for Week 10.
Dubsy, the Hunt family owns the Kansas City Chiefs, so I'm going to make you the de facto owner of the Chiefs right now. It's the AFC Championship game from Arrowhead Stadium. You, as the owner of the Chiefs, who do you not want to play from the AFC in that game?
I guess I keep going back to the Buffalo Bills have really had their measure in the regular season, but for Josh Allen has just struggled to take that forward step in the playoffs. But again, you let him hang around long enough in these games, they're going to spoil the party. If you keep going up against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, who also sneaking under a bit of a radar there, Donnie, I think that could be a team to watch out for.
Double revenge. The Ravens want their revenge from this year. The Bills want their revenge in the AFC. But how about the MVP talk next by yourself? Who's going to get the job done? We'll talk about it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
MVP odds market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's certainly heating up, and boy, we have an unbelievably good race here and a lot of great football players. If we're just looking right now at the MVP odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook, look at this. It's Lamar Jackson again pulling into the lead, at least with a tie with Josh Allen, both sitting at a 3-1 price. Patrick Mahomes, plus 450. Jared Goff, 8-1. Jaden Daniels, rookie. Hey, maybe he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year. Maybe he actually does the deal, wins the MVP, something that C.J. Stroud actually almost got last year as a Houston Texan rookie. So before we get to the buy or sell here, let me ask you this question. The odds market at the top here, Dubsy, tie between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Do you see the same thing, or do you have a nod for one of these guys above, just talking about the top two here?
No, Donnie, I agree with the odds makers in this spot. I think it's still wide open for the MVP, and as it should be going into the second half of the year here. I don't think there has been a true standout. I think Lamar Jackson is putting together an MVP type season, but I don't think King Henry is going to help his chances. Josh Allen has looked even better from what we've seen over the last couple of years there for the Buffalo Bills. And you could make the argument he's slightly more valuable to his team and his offense of what he's doing week in, week out. And then there's that next tier, that next step down where we do see a couple of prices, the likes of Jared Goff, who we teased prior to the break there, he's been playing some really efficient football. So no, I think the odds market's spot on with this one. It certainly looks to be all about Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, but a little undecided. It's right in the balance. If a quarterback, even if another offensive weapon sitting inside that top five, top 10 can put together a couple of good months of some really strong football, if Jaden Daniels could continue to put up what he has been putting up, he's going to be right in the mix once it's all said and done.
Let's go on the record, Dubsy. Buy or sell, only Allen, Jackson, or Mahomes can win the MVP award this season.
Sell. We're missing a couple of big names and one in particular up there in the North. Detroit Lions star quarterback Jared Goff. Jared Goff 2.0 since coming across from the Rams. He has looked fantastic. He was an MVP type caliber quarterback last season, Donnie, but this year even better. My guy doesn't even know what a turnover is. He hasn't even seen an interception in months. He's playing some really efficient football and he's got the weapons around him. They can set the table with the run game. They've got that 1-2 punch. He's got arguably one of the best wide receivers in the business who can get vertical and stuff the stat sheet. So for me, Jared Goff is absolutely in the mix there. So I'm going against Donny. I think he's going to be given a little bit more credit here on a Wednesday afternoon.
A lot of football still left to be played, and we've seen injuries impact these decisions because it's not like the NBA, let's just say 82 games, or Major League Baseball, 162. You only get 17 weeks, and each week, if you don't perform to the highest level, you sort of get knocked down a peg. And you're talking about Lamar Jackson, already a two-time MVP. Can he make it three times here? Josh Allen, we know, is incredibly talented and an unbelievable player on the field. And if the Buffalo Bills can win the AFC East and do damage here and say, you know what, we might be the number one overall seed when it's said and done, if Kansas City can falter down the stretch, maybe he picks up. And then there's always Patrick Mahomes. Typically this time of the year, if you would have told me, Dubsy, before the season, by the way, Donnie, 8 games in, the Chiefs haven't lost a single game. Like, Mahomes would be minus 650 to win the MVP because you figured he'd have like 25 touchdown passes and they're absolutely smashing everybody, but that's not the case. But I do agree, Jared Goff has a legitimate chance to win this. I'm so interested at some of the guys on the next part of this list. Like Jaden Daniels, if they end up winning the NFC East, which means they're probably going to finish with at least 12 or 13 victories for a rookie quarterback on a team that wasn't very good last year, you're going to get bonus points from that. But also, Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles started the season a little bit slow, really turning it on, both passing efficiency, not turning the football over, and rushing touchdowns there. Talk to me a little bit about that Daniels and Hurts here, the NFC East connection between those two.
Yeah, and for Jaden Daniels, I mean, he has not put a foot wrong. There were, cause for concern with the accuracy and the turnovers. 2 interceptions for the year. He's been putting up some fantastic yards. He can get it down the field, and he's showing a real maturity in the pocket. So if the Commanders can keep this thing moving in the right direction, it suddenly becomes more weight week in, week out behind Jaden Daniels. Not to say that there's not a great supporting cast around him, but it's a market in trying to identify who has been the most valuable player. And Jaden Daniels certainly brings a lot of value to the Commanders franchise. So at plus 800, I think that's a fantastic number. I feel like the public just don't want to get on board with your Eagles, Donnie. I mean, what's going on? Is it Nick Sirianni that wants to scare the bettors away at the window, that he's not making the smart decisions once it's all said and done? And, you know, I guess for Jalen Hurts, he's splitting a bit of that pizzazz and fanfare with Saquon Barkley, but Jalen Hurts is putting up some fantastic numbers there as well. I love your Eagles, Donnie. I don't understand why they're not getting the same sort of buzz as a couple of their foes sitting with the same kind of records. But Daniels, you could make the argument, has done the most for any offense coming in for a season. From what we expected them to be to what we're actually seeing, hats off.
Yeah, we got a showdown coming up, as I said, next Thursday night in Philadelphia between Washington and Philadelphia. Take a look at Daniels and Hurts. You might be able to see them flip depending on how they do, but both of those quarterbacks certainly have been very good. And again, down that list a little bit more, Joe Burrow. Can he resurrect that Cincinnati team fighting through all those injuries? He's having a decent season. If they can knock off the Baltimore Ravens, maybe his prices start to increase. And also, there's that Brock Purdy sitting at 28-1. One of the favorites you would have thought just a few weeks ago before the injuries for the San Francisco 49ers, how they would be stepping up. They certainly haven't done that here. But for my money right now, if we're looking at the top here, like the buy or sell question, like I would sell it because only it's 3 players. We understand this. We're not 2 weeks away from the end of the season where it looks like it's already wrapped up at this point. There's a lot of football left to play. And you're right about this. Jared Goff has been ultra efficient. You do get bonus points if the Detroit Lions end up the number one overall seed and winning that tough division. It's not a layup like Brady had for decades in New England. You are really going to have to earn it if you want to win that NFC North. And then again, taking a look at the Kirk Cousins, 25-1, resurrecting Atlanta. A lot of football left, but it does look like we have a decided advantage with that top 3, Dubsy, with Jackson, Allen, and Mahomes. How about that?
Couple of short prices. If you're looking to tie up your money for the next couple of months, settle on one. But I think this is a market where it's still wide open. Don't mind the look of Joey Burrow there at 16-1. Don't mind the look a little further down the board. I'm going to say it. Matty Stafford and the Rams. Let's go.
Whoa. Dallas Cowboys talk next. How about a double commercial break instead? Nah, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Midway through hour number two, and the topics continue to hit here. We talked MVP. We talked who's the best team in football. Can teams go undefeated? Now, let's have some fun on the opposite end of the spectrum, and that starts with the Dallas Cowboys. As we prefaced, before the season started, before you had training camp, and you're in the offseason, Jerry Jones came out and said, this is going to be an all-in season for us, which meant, oh, he's going to spend a lot of money. He's going to get a lot of free agents. He's going to re-up all his players before we even get to training camp and maybe find himself a new head coach or extend Mike McCarthy as his head coach. Basically, nothing like that happened except the wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, got paid. The quarterback, Dak Prescott, got paid, but got paid right before camp, which did nothing for your salary cap in 2024. So if we look at the Dallas Cowboys since 1995, regular season record, it's actually decent, 247 and 212. Playoff record, 5-13. NFC championship game appearances, zero, which is unbelievable to think about that. So the buy or sell question, Dubsy, to you. The Dallas Cowboys are the worst run organization in the NFL.
Oh, geez, Donnie, this is a tough one. I would say they are the worst run team in the NFL, given what they have to work with. There's a couple of teams that would absolutely give him a good push there. But when Jerry said he was all in, I've been all in at the blackjack table before, Donnie, and I've been handed a couple of duds, a pair of threes, and I feel like that's how the season's going for the Dallas Cowboys. It is not good enough time and time again. We've got the excuses. We've got the big words, the jumbled up word salad to start us off here. And Jerry's far too involved in trying to run this thing and this whole operation, and eventually it's going to come undone. And that's what we've seen. I mean, in the offseason, they went after it. They threw the bag at a couple of big names in Dak and CD. They locked up their cornerstone pieces in trying to move in to a new year of contending. But I mean, just that missing stat record there of championship appearances, that is not good enough. And ultimately, it doesn't matter if you're contending, if you're putting up fantastic, you know, performances of the regular season. You want to measure this thing once it's all said and done by championships. How many rings have you got? And it just hasn't been good enough for the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, we speak about teams' DNAs. Well, I feel like this organization, their DNA is to just let us down. They let America's team down. It just hasn't been good enough. And you got to start up top there, Donnie. You got to blame the man in charge. He's got his mitts over everything, and right now it hasn't been looking fantastic. So one of the worst teams being run in the NFL.
Yeah, never to think, like, my senior year of high school, which was February of 1996, watching the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl, like, man, they get here every year. What a good team they have. And never being able to get back since then. It's absolutely incredible. But for my buy or sell answer, I'm actually going to sell that, because why? There's a team called the Carolina Panthers that resides in the NFL. There's also a team called the Cleveland Browns that reside in the NFL. I do think those are worse run franchises, but I think we take more solace in it's always fun when the Dallas Cowboys slip up, like the Dallas Cowboys lose. It's a great day for America. You get the point at that. But also, Dubs, let me ask you this quick question, though. You brought up some blackjack here, but I've been many long sessions in Atlantic City and Las Vegas playing blackjack. Doesn't always feel like when you're trying to say, all right, I'm going to up the ante, you do start getting a lot of threes, fours, and fives matched up against face cards against the dealer, man. Why is that? Is it just me, or is that everybody out there saying, hey, let me double down this hand to try to make sense? Three, and then the dealer shows ace. You're like, come on now.
And the bourbon and cokes just start, seeping in a little more as the night goes on. But I tell you what, pressure, it's a real thing, Donnie. And for a team like the Dallas Cowboys, the more money you spend, the more expectation there is year in and year out. So I completely agree with you. They're probably not, you know, alongside the Carolina Panthers or the Cleveland Browns, but we haven't had the same expectations. And to say, well, it's not fair to have, you know, a different measuring stick or to hold them to, a different bar. Yes, we absolutely should be. They spend the money like they're one of the top three teams in the NFL, and we just have not seen that. The juice has not been worth the squeeze there. So this is like the long Saturday night stint at the blackjack table. You're going back to the ATM. You're saying, all right, we've got to come back here. A regression to a mean. Sometimes the best answer, Donnie, is to just say, hey, I'm walking away. I'll see you tomorrow morning back here at the tables. Maybe this is what the Cowboys need, a bit of a reset, and just fully evaluate how this thing's working.
Like, we're oddsmen here, right, Dubsy? You play the percentages here. If you have a lot of seasons where you win divisions and have double-digit seasons, just by default over 25-plus years, you're going to reach an NFC Championship game and or a Super Bowl. The team I just told you, like, hey, there's the Carolina Panthers, the worst-run organization in football. They were a couple snaps with Cam Newton away from winning a Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos. Crazy how it works out, but you know what? Football gets back into our lives tomorrow night. Cincinnati-Baltimore, we're getting in next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Guess who's back? It's Dubsy and Donnie in the Morning right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Network, NFL. No games today, but back tomorrow for Thursday Night Football, a big one in the AFC North. You might say to yourselves, well, Donnie, hold on. The Bengals are 4-5 here. What are they playing for? A heck of a lot. The Ravens, 6-3 on the season here, playing for a lot. The lines at the FanDuel Sportsbook currently sit right now a -6.5-point favorite at -102 juice live. Right here, FanDuel, in a total that sits at 52.5. And you know me, I love props to the over. I love game flows to the over. 52.5 points on a Thursday night between divisional opponents. That sounds glorious. Let's start here, Dubsy. Bengals and Ravens coming into this game. Your first thoughts?
I think it's absolutely sick, Donnie, that you get excited about the overs when that total's sitting at 52.5 for a prime-time spot. But arguably, no team in the NFL needs to win more in Week 10 than the Cincinnati Bengals. They are trying to keep this season upright and doing that divisional dance, going against familiar foes here in the AFC North. Baltimore sitting 2 wins ahead of them. Pittsburgh sitting there with 6 wins for the year as well. The Bengals need this one. Joey Burrow, he's been playing some fantastic football. They got a bit of confidence in what we have seen the last month. 3 wins from their last 4 starts. It does not get easier going against the Baltimore Ravens, but two of the best quarterbacks in the business. We've got Ja'Marr Chase there with Joey Burrow for the Baltimore Ravens. It's an absolute bevy of offensive options here, but I feel like this is going to be a nice little spot here for Cincinnati. Joey Burrow, he likes this matchup. He wants to get primed up for the occasion. The mail coming across is T. Higgins, still questionable for Week 10, but I really don't think that's going to slow down their chances. Zach Moss won't partake in this one. They've got Herbert there, who's looking to get a couple of carries in the backfield. So I like the Bengals grabbing 6.5. Donnie, I think it's a big total. I'm leaning towards the unders. I would correlate that to Cincinnati. But what do you feel for this one? I mean, the pressure certainly has to be on the Bengals in trying to keep up with the divisional leaders.
Yeah, you can't slip back. And here's the issue you have, because I do understand Cincinnati is talented on offense. They're not very good on defense. And T. Higgins being out for a couple weeks certainly didn't help, specifically against the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, oh, is there a chance to get after that young secondary with 2 really good wide receivers? That didn't happen. T. Higgins on a short work week, probably not going to be back this week. We'll be back next week. But the problem is, Dubsy, as we talk about, is the record. And yes, we understand 7 teams in each conference, make the playoffs here, which you're never technically really out of it until you're officially out of it, like in late December. But this week, you're going to take on the Ravens on the road. Let's just say you slip up there. The Chargers look really good and are now healthy. You got to play them on the road in back-to-back games. And then, you know, you get at home, the Pittsburgh Steelers, followed by on the road against the Cowboys. And you might say, oh, the Cowboys are terrible. You might have Dak back in that game, CD healthy, both of your top pass rushers, and a better version of themselves, which they're not going to be over the next 2 to 3 weeks. That's what I question here. It's not that I don't think the talent is enough for the Bengals to get in the playoffs. It's just they blew so many games early on that it turns into this game for me, Dubsy, a must win. I don't know if they're going to be able to get that. But if we're sizing up the equation, you know what the expectations for me? Both of these quarterbacks absolutely ball out. And you know what else we love, Dubsy, on the East Coast? November football at 62 degrees at kickoff, no rain in the forecast, and light winds. It's a perfect landscape for points. You look at Lamar Jackson's passing prop, 232.5. You look at Joe Burrow, 268.5. I always like to say, keeping it simple, if I expect Cincinnati to be losing this game, Joe Burrow is going to have to throw the ball 35 to 40 times in this game, and it's a secondary that can be had. I look at both of these performances for the quarterbacks to be on the positive on Thursday night.
Yeah, overs for the quarterbacks in trying to get it after it. And for the Baltimore Ravens, Donnie, you know, do you build stock from a victory if they were to go on and get it done here for Thursday night football? Or is it going to be a matter of once it's all said and done, prove us a little something in the playoffs? Because if you go back the last couple of seasons, this feels like a playoff game. It's Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, two of the hot quarterbacks in the NFL. But for one team, we know what we've got with the Baltimore Ravens. For Cincinnati, we're still sitting back saying they need to get things going in the right direction. Their record, it's a decent one, but it's not fantastic. It's not exactly where we thought the Bengals would be sitting at this point of the year there. So certainly a lot on the line here for Thursday night football, but the pressure looks to be squarely on Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, it certainly does. You take a look at some of those passing props out here. Zay Flowers, who's been wonderful for them this season. That is an offense that is truly balanced, which helps out the passing game. He's listed at 59.5 receiving yards. Obviously, the top dog in this game is going to be Ja'Marr Chase at 78.5. But take a look at this. I've been on that Gesicki bandwagon, the tight end for the Cincinnati Bengals, the past couple weeks. He came through last week. 5 catches, 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's no longer listed at 25.5, 26.5. Gesicki this week listed at 48.5. All, who was the backup tight end, did hurt his Achilles, or no, excuse me, here his ACL. He's going to be down for the season, so maybe more targets coming his way. You need Chase Brown. You need to have an offense that can go toe-to-toe with the Ravens. Not keep them off the field, but you better be able to attack. So some of these wide receiver props, I can see them coming through. Mark Andrews, 42.5 here for the Baltimore Ravens in that sustained balanced attack here. So I'm liking some of these receiving props. Let me ask you this question. If we don't get to see T. Higgins, which it looks like, Dubsy, we're not going to see Thursday night, is that Ja'Marr Chase? No doubt about it. Has to go over 100 yards to keep him in this ball game.
Yeah, I think he absolutely does. North of 6 catches, over 100 yards. I think Joey Burrow is going to have to clear 250, right around what we saw last week for the Raiders. It may even have to be a 300-yard kind of performance there. But in terms of the receiving targets, and you highlighted a great point, Donnie, and I love it when we're seeing it the same. I had to make a big adjustment for one of my fantasy football lineups overnight. Isaiah Likely, he's been dropped. Gesicki is in. Likely suddenly getting no looks whatsoever from Lamar Jackson. It's the big fella Ingram Mark Andrews, who's seen a bit of an uptick with his looks. And I think you're right there. If it's not going to be Ja'Marr Chase, I think Mike Gesicki, he's shown he's got those trusty hands, and it's going to be a matter of trying to feed a lot of mouths at the table. You know, last week, I think it was double digits in terms of players getting receptions there. I think it's going to have to look the same with no Higgins trying to take that vertical option out of the equation. That's going to hurt their chances. Ja'Marr Chase can only do so much, especially with the defense coming up to him. If they get to pair up on him, give him that double coverage, it's not going to get easier, but he is one of the best wide receivers in the game. He's now playing with a bit of fitness. He's got that first step and that quickness back, but it cannot just be Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They're going to have to bring a little more to the table. Otherwise, they're going to get boat raced here by the Baltimore Ravens. I think it's going to have to be all over the park and a lot of different names involved on the box score.
The ground and pound here from the Baltimore Ravens is always impressive. Derrick Henry's been nothing short of spectacular. His rushing prop for Thursday night listed at 90.5. And sometimes people, Dubsy, wrongfully doing so, handicap just based on what the prices would be, as opposed to doing some information, getting some background here and saying, okay, here's what I like. Because if I ask one player tonight, or sort of say Thursday night, to score a touchdown, it's always going to be Derrick Henry. But it is a minus 290 price in this. But if you think he's the best version of himself in this game and he scores, you're probably willing to pay that minus 290. Talk to me about Derrick Henry coming into this game. 100 yards and a touchdown. Expectations for you, what are they?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. I mean, there's going to be a lot of juice behind King Henry and trying to get one to the house. Minus 290 there for an anytime touchdown score. If you like him to get one for a little house call, maybe playing for first score there at plus 330. But another monster game. I expect the Baltimore Ravens, especially at home, to lean on that running game. If they're leading early in this one, it's just going to be a matter of hitting the floor there, ground and pound, as you said, Donnie. So I think for King Henry, you look at the numbers. I mean, this could be one of the best seasons we've ever seen for running back. 168 carries, already over 1,000 rushing yards with 11 touchdowns. It was two last week. It was one prior to that. So King Henry, he's getting set for a monster Thursday night. But I do think they're going to have to start looking at some different ways, because a lot of teams are going to start clawing on to the old run game. Maybe that opens a couple opportunities elsewhere, like we saw with Zay Flowers last week. 127 receiving yards I believe. He was impressive.
Numbers won't change much if the Ravens should win, but numbers will change a lot if the Bengals do win. 10-1 price in the North, that'll be probably cut in half. The NBA didn't play last night. It's playing tonight. Let's get you teed up. Let's talk some NBA action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA action. I believe everybody played on Monday night in the NBA. Nobody played due to the election on Tuesday night. Then now we're back with a solid card. But sometimes you forget, Dubsy. Hey, is it the opening week of the season? A couple games in. A lot of these teams have played at least 8 games, 7, no doubt about it, in the NBA. And now we move forward. So it's never too early to look about the NBA championship picture here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Are we surprised by the numbers that are popping up? No. It's the Boston Celtics at a +250 price, the Thunder at +480, the Knicks +750, the Mavs at 10-1. So four teams at 10-1 or less. If we are looking at some of the standings here, it is interesting. You would figure that the Celtics are the best team in the East just by that price point of 250 to win the NBA championship. And you're probably going to be right. But if I told you there is one unbeaten team in the Eastern Conference, you might say it's the Boston Celtics. It's not. They have a great record. They're 7-1. But the team up top of the list, that's the 8-0 Cleveland Cavaliers. So you look at the top. And by the way, you want to talk about parity? You got it here in the East. 8-0 Cleveland. 7-1 Boston. Not another team in the entire conference, Dubsy, is above 500, which is pretty crazy to look at. But let's start with the championship odds. And as always, the Celtics are a +250. They won the championship last year. They look even better this year, Dubs. And I agree. +250, do I want to bet on it? Not necessarily, but I do think they're the best.
Yeah, and I think we've got a dynasty looming over there in Boston. Get set to hopefully drop another banner. They've looked fantastic. And what is the motivation? Well, you know, they've been doubted for a very long time. I know they finally got it done there last season, but they also go through, a summer of snubs, if you will, over there at Paris, notably with the likes of Jaylen Brown. You've got Tatum, who didn't get a lot of playing minutes. He's come back and he's always had that knock, and suddenly he looks lethal from out wide beyond the arc. So now we've got Jason Tatum 2.0, who can get it done with his three-point shot there as well. And this is a really well-balanced roster there for Joey Mazzulla. This is a team that's got plenty of depth. They've now got, I guess, that confidence and that swag of knowing what they achieved and accomplished last year. So I think the odds makers are absolutely spot on. And for the Boston Celtics, from what we have seen to start their campaign, it's been pretty impressive as well. At 7-1, the only loss going against the Pacers. And the Pacers are always going to be that team. They can outpace you or outscore you on any given night. But outside of that, they've looked very, very impressive, notably of late. There they had a couple easy wins over Charlotte and the ATL, but love what I've seen from the Boston Celtics. It is going to be a long and vigorous season. I expect that they will go through a couple of phases of where they don't play this high level basketball, but really impressive that they've come into a new season with no championship hangover, and they're now sitting at +250 over at the FT Sportsbook.
And you take a look there at the Thunder at a +480 price, no longer creeping up on teams, because why? They're 7-0 this season, a perfect start to the year. And also, here's what happens when you actually draft high. Let those players play. Don't bench SGA midway through the season for multiple games here and let him go all the way through. He turns out to be a great candidate for MVP, which we'll talk about later. But I like the Thunder, and I agree at that +480 price. The Knicks made a lot of changes in the offseason. Hasn't really translated on the court yet, but this is the NBA in a nutshell. We really don't look at early season success and try to change that thought process of they won't be able to compete in the playoffs. So now it gets to some case in point reasons for that, Dubs. You look at Philadelphia. Hey, look, the Sixers made big changes in the offseason. Paul George came over. Tyrese Maxey is a wonderful player. Joel Embiid, if he can stay healthy, they're going to be a player. They haven't played anything this year. A 1-5 start to the season, which includes 3 straight losses and still on the West Coast, and 3-game suspension coming up for Joel Embiid. So if you want to reintroduce him into the lineup, which they were close to doing, he's down for 3 more games. Their win total, 46.5 to make the playoffs, still a -1300. Like, Dubsy, The Sixers could legitimately start 1-8, 1-9 on the season and probably still be a monster favorite to make the playoffs. The Philadelphia 76ers outlook for you, Dubs, at the start of the season till now, has it been damaged goods, or are you on the opinion, like the FanDuel Sportsbook is, don't worry, they'll get it together, they'll be just fine?
I don't know if they will get it together. And, you know, for big JoJo, Joel Embiid, once he serves his three-game suspension and returns, I feel like it could be a common theme from what we have seen over the last couple of seasons. He's going to have a little bit of rust. He's going to be lacking that match fitness. He's going to have to get some minutes in, and with that comes some growing pains. I think Paul George has looked pretty strong from what we have seen to start. I love Tyrese Maxey and Kelly Oubre Jr., but I just feel like you look at some of the other weapons in the conference here, and they've really bolstered and come out the gate strong. The 76ers have lost that step, and I just think the pressure is going to continue to mount, and it already seems to be causing a couple of distractions off the court, and now they make this West Coast trip and trying to square off against the Clippers and the Lakers, and suddenly you're looking at being, what, one for nine, one for 10 to start a new year here. You're playing catch-up. I do not like the overs of that win total. I think they're up against it, Donnie. Sorry, I'm going against your city, but that's the way I'm seeing it.
Just the way it is. I'm telling you, like, how bad can the start of the season be? Because you can't be too bad and try to mount a comeback, but we always have to remember the NBA, it's no longer the top eight that get in, Dubsy. It's the top 10. There's plenty of time to recover, and the betting markets always shift towards what actually is going to happen in the playoffs, or at least what they think. Case in point, Milwaukee Bucks. The one team that they beat this year was the Philadelphia 76ers. Now you look at them, six straight losses after that opening night win against the Sixers, who didn't have Paul George or Joel Embiid. Now the talks of, does Giannis one out? 45.5 as a team win total, but still a playoff number at -950. What is going on in the East? The Sixers and the Bucks, two wins combined to start the season. That's unbelievable.
Where there's smoke, there's got to be fire, Donnie. We're getting whispers that there's a little unrest in the locker room, and it's pretty, visible there. If you watch the game for the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis is very frustrated. It looks like he's actually pretty frustrated towards fellow superstar in Dame time, Dame Lillard. But, I mean, he wanted Dame. He's like, come across. This is exactly what we need in trying to make a championship run. But it just does not look to be the case here. So I don't know if there's something else going on off the floor. But for the Milwaukee Bucks, the chemistry, the cohesion is completely lacking. And usually that's not something that turns around quickly. These big superstars get paid hundreds of millions of dollars. They're always right, Donnie. And when you've got a couple of them going head-to-head, nothing good comes of it.
No, it certainly doesn't. It's astounding. Like, Doc Rivers was taking over that team basically midway through last season to win an NBA championship. Not crash and burn the franchise. Let's talk some MVPs. SGA. Ever heard of him? We'll talk about him and more next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So many times, Dubsy, here, you will go to an NBA arena and you will cheer on your favorite player. Once he gets to the free throw line, what do you hear? MVP, MVP. Well, there's only a select few that are going to be in it to win it in the MVP market. And in the NBA, there are no free nights here. You can't just hang out for 40 games, say I'm the best player on the planet, win me the MVP. There is a minimum of 65 games that you must play out of the 82 to qualify. So when we're looking right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook with the MVP market, the leader in the clubhouse, OKC's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at a +250 price, followed by Luka Doncic at a 3-1 price, Jason Tatum +450, Jokic at 7-1, and then we'll use that first cutoff here of Anthony Edwards at 10-1. I always love to see these markets because sometimes I do think they're jaded to who do we want to win next because somebody else has already won a few, and that is the Jokic problem that you have at 7-1. He's probably the best player in the NBA and at the end of the season may have the best statistics, but giving him another MVP award, some people struggle with that. Sometimes it's next up on the list, which would be SGA and also Luka Doncic, followed by Jason Tatum. Let's start with the top three and leave out Nikola Jokic. SGA, Doncic, and Tatum. For you, Dubsy, who is your leader in the clubhouse?
It's got to be SGA, and I think you highlighted a couple of key metrics that we need to factor in for this market. Are they going to be out there for the duration of the season? Are they playing for a team that's going to be contending for a playoff run. Do they have the production? Are they splitting a bulk of night in, night out activity with a couple of fellow superstars? That's what you face with Jason Tatum. That's what you get with Luka and Kyrie. But for SGA, I mean, I know you've got the likes of Chet Holmgren and a couple other young superstars, but he really is that one. He is that number one guy for OKC, who have looked fantastic to start this year. I project them to make a very deep run out of the West. He's putting up points. He's right around 25 on the nightly, but he's also facilitating the Rock. So along with a lot of minutes being played there, SGA, no surprises. I thought he was fantastic last year. He's looked even better since returning here for the Thunder, and he's just doing a bit of everything. At plus 250, it's a really short price, but this is a young guy who's also going to get through the vigor mold, longevity of having a really long and taxing season in the association, and that's what he's got around him. It's not like he's some young superstar in an aging locker room. These are young guys who all want to play together. The vibes are high, and so too are the chances of SGA taking out the MVP.
I love SGA. Like, you saw it coming a couple of years ago where the guy would play like every third night but drop 35 points. Like, why don't they let him play more? Well, OKC understood the task was he's going to be good for us. We just don't need to be good right now and win basketball games so we can continue to stack up those draft picks and get guys like Holmgren onto that roster. But if I'm going to ask you this question, and it's a little bit outside the box, SGA, Doncic, and Tatum, the public themselves, who do you think they would will to victory there? Forget about the actual sharp handicappers and the votes that are coming in. If the public's choice on all three of those where they played the same basketball, who do you think the public would go for?
Oh, good question there, Donnie. I feel like the public are probably sick of the internationals taking out this award. And for Luka, you either love him or hate him. I feel like, for the Boston Celtics and Jason Tatum, they're the Boston Celtics, so it's tough in trying to go against SGA. Oh, well, I guess another international. So that floors that argument there as well. I think maybe Anthony Edwards, the new anointed face of the league, he's still sitting there at 10-1. He lost his big partner in crime, Carl Anthony Towns, headed out a little further east there. So Anthony Edwards could be that buzz player who brings that showmanship, also brings in that fantastic play and knows how to chalk up the points there day in, day out. So I think Anthony Edwards could be the fan favorite. The internationals, they've had their time. They've won, six of the last seven? So maybe that hurts the chances of the top of the board.
By the way, looking at the NBA leaders in three-point shots made like per game, Anthony Edwards leads the NBA at 5.1 three-point shots made per game. And also, Jason Tatum, who for me always used to end my parlays on a night-to-night basis when I take him to make two or more three-point shots, he's average making 4.1 per game. So you're seeing a changing of the guard where the three-point shot is such a big deal in the NBA. But for my answer to that, Dubsy, to be honest, I actually think the fans would be rooting on Luka Doncic at this point because he just does it all. Points, rebounds, assists. Dallas is a fun team to watch with Kyrie Irving. SGA is wonderful. I think if I had, Donnie, got one vote for it there, I do think SGA wins it. But I think the fans would be rooting for Doncic because Jason Tatum, like it or not, polarizing figure even in the city of Boston. Now, granted, you go out and win an NBA championship, that changes a lot of those. Hey, we don't think he can get the job done because apparently he can, but he's having a really good season this year. I'm still going to keep it on the same wavelength for me. Give me SGA, but I also think the public want Luka Doncic. We're going to keep rolling. Hour number three, fade the public. We're ready to go. The early line comes back next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.